Chapter 2, An Unholy Cleansing. Charlie yawned as she turned the doorknob to her bedroom. As soon as she entered the room, a sickly sweet aroma hit her that made her stomach churn.
Ugh, Razzle, have you been eating jelly beans in the bed again?
She called out while kicking off her boots. She tossed the stack of hotel guest applications from that evening's social on her desk. She had every intention tomorrow morning of marching up to Alistair's room, shoving the papers in his hands, and telling him to get to work. But she knew she'd probably just end up doing them herself. She snapped her fingers to turn on her bedside lamp, then let out a loud scream.
Fuck! Alistair, what are you doing in my room? Why are you in my bed?
He didn't respond. He was laying on his back, hands resting on his stomach, comfortably sunken into the mattress.
Oh, you've got to be kidding me,
she muttered under her breath. Did this creepy bastard really throw a tantrum and then decide to take a nap on her bed?
Hey, asshole, she shouted. Go snore in your own room.
She was kind of surprised the radio demon was such a heavy sleeper. Or that he slept at all, really. With a frustrated grunt, she stomped around to his side of the bed and gave him a shove.
Alistair!
His head lolled to one side, but he still didn't wake. She gripped his shoulders with both hands and gave him a violent shake.
Alistair!
Now that she was so close, she realized the nauseating scent was coming from him. Gold veins peeked out from his shirt collar. His face was pallid and nearly expressionless, save for his permanent smile. Something wasn't right.
Alistair, wake up. Come on, this isn't funny.
She slapped his cheek a few times. It felt feverish and clammy. He gave no reaction, not even an involuntary twitch. Panic began to bubble in Charlie's stomach. She placed her finger under his nose and could feel the faint heat of his exhale. She breathed a small sigh of relief. He was still unalive, at least.
Kill me for this later,
she mumbled as she quickly undid his bow tie. She sat him up in the bed to remove his dress coat, and he slumped forward into her arms. His body was scorching. Shit, he looked way worse than he did a few hours ago. The princess's fingers fumbled frantically on the buttons of his shirt, popping several of them off. She winced as she heard them hit the floor, knowing the radio demon would be mad at her for ruining the garment. That is, if he even lived to find out about it. She carefully laid his half-dressed form back down on the pillows.
Oh, shit,
she cursed as she looked at his bare chest and could see the full extent of his injury.
Shit, 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 shit.
The wound was like a bolt of lightning, cut across his chest and glowing bright. It branched out infinitely to cover his entire torso and had spread down his arms and up his neck. Alistair made a gurgling noise, and Charlie cradled his head, lifting it up so he could speak better.
Al, are you okay?
Tension lined his brow, but his eyes remained closed.
Mama, I don't want to wear those shoes.
His voice was heavily filtered and distant, like hearing a radio from another room.
The other boys will make fun of me.
Charlie ran a hand through her hair.
Fuck, what do I do? What do I do?
Alistair was dying in her bed. Should she call an ambulance? No, the healthcare in hell was shit. He'd die before they even bothered to dispatch the paramedics. What about her father? He had to have the power to undo whatever this was. Alistair would never forgive her for letting Lucifer save him. He'd probably end their partnership with some choice words and a middle finger to her face, but that was better than letting him die. She pulled her phone out of her pocket and dialed her father's number. After one ring, it went straight to voicemail. The princess cursed under her breath. His phone was turned off. She forgot that he's been hosting karaoke night for the other sins on the same night as her hotel socials. He didn't like to be disturbed during those.
Well, there's no rule in poker that you can't eat your own cards.
Alistair babbled deliriously.
You're just a sore loser, Husker.
She looked panickedly back at him and placed a hand on his chest, feeling it rise with his shallow and irregular breaths. Her hand clenched in a fist. She wasn't going to lose anyone else unless it was to a golden halo instead of wings. Determined, she strode across her bedroom to grab her desk chair, then dragged it to place in front of where he was laying. She sat down and placed both hands on the radio demon's injury, closing her eyes as she began to concentrate. The angelic wound burned her skin like holy water, but she didn't pull away. She focused her power into her fingertips, digging them into Alistair's skin. The radio demon began laughing, and for a hopeful moment, she thought he was coming too. His smile grew wide, and one eye cracked open, glazed over and distant.
Ha-ha! Tax evasion!
He shouted gleefully before passing out again. She refocused, feeling her horns grow as magic surged through her. Red and black sparks danced along Alistair's chest like a fuse chasing powder. The gold tendrils of infection began receding from his neck and arms. Alistair groaned and his eyes shot open. Pupils turned to radio dials. He opened his mouth, and an old-timey radio commercial about Japanese playing cards started playing. If she wavered, even a little bit, the infection would begin spreading again, and she was quickly losing steam. The radio demon continued sporadically spouting nonsense, each outburst less coherent than the last. He chittered off a recipe for mint juleps. He started singing Tiptoe Through the Tulips, but in reverse. At one point, his mouth lit up like a radio display, and he began broadcasting a horse race.
Come on, Al, you can't bail on us so easily.
Charlie stood up and leaned over the man, one knee on the bed.
You can't bail on me.
She gripped his chest with one hand and braced her forearm with the other hand. With a resolute grunt, she blasted him with all the unholy magic she could muster. The princess could feel the heavenly corruption dissipating. The angelic wound began glowing red, sucking the branches of infection back into their source. Then the glow faded into Alistair's gray skin, leaving a fresh, grotesque, but otherwise normal-looking scar. Charlie collapsed back in the chair, completely drained. She wiped the sweat from her brow, then sat up to check on Alistair. He was still pale, but his breathing had regulated. She sighed in relief. He was past the worst of it, she hoped. She watched him as he laid there, unconscious. It was unnerving to see him in a state like this. Weakened. Vulnerable. So very human. The man was so powerful and enigmatic, she forgot that even he was mortal once. She scrunched her nose amusedly. Underneath all those fancy clothes, he was kind of scrawny, though. 7 feet of nothing but limbs. The radio demon suddenly stirred, and the princess leaned in close, holding her breath in anticipation. His hand shot out and grabbed hers.
Charlie,
he croaked. There was no filter in his voice, no mocking tone, and she swore his smile faltered for a second. It was the most authentic she's ever seen the man. They locked eyes. His had lost that sinister, calculating glint they usually had. Charlie couldn't really make sense of how he was looking at her, but for some reason it made her heart leap into her throat. She must just be relieved that he was okay. Alistair's hand dropped from her arm and his head fell back against the bed. He was out cold. Charlie sighed and got up to grab some extra blankets from her closet. It was going to be a long night. Alistair groaned. He felt like someone had tied cinder blocks to his hands and feet and threw him in the Mississippi. There was a weight on his chest, and that made it difficult to breathe. He tiredly cracked open his eyes and saw Kiki was curled up and sleeping on him.
Do you mind?
He grumbled to the cat. Kiki's ears twitched at the sharp feedback of his voice. But she ignored him.
Kiki, no! Get off of him!
Charlie was sitting in a chair next to him. She must have just woken up as well. Her hair was a mess, and she was wearing the same pantsuit he saw her in the previous night, with her shirt wrinkled and her suspenders hanging loosely around her waist. Quite an unbecoming appearance for hellish royalty. She shooed Kiki off of him, who scurried under the bed.
Good morning, sunshine,
the princess greeted as she rubbed a kink in her neck.
How are you feeling?
Alistair blinked slowly at her. He took in his surroundings and realized he was in Charlie's bedroom. In his sick delirium, he remembered dragging himself here last night. He also realized he was shirtless and yanked up the blanket that was covering him.
"Where are my clothes?"
he asked pointedly.
"Right over there."
Charlie pointed to the neatly folded pile on the ottoman at the foot of her bed.
"I washed your waistcoat. That thing smelled like a dead animal. And there's a few buttons missing from your shirt. Sorry."
He narrowed his eyes at her, and she shook her hands in defense.
But don't worry. Nifty should be able to sew them back on."
He gave a staticky hum of annoyance. That was his favorite shirt.
"No, that won't be necessary. I'll be going now."
He pushed himself into a sitting position, ignoring how his arms trembled at the exertion. Before the shame of needing the princess's help could set in, he wanted to get as far away from her as possible.
"Whoa, slow down. You had a rough night. You need to rest."
She placed a hand on his shoulder in an effort to keep him from getting up.
"There's no rest for the wicked, my dear."
He flicked her hand off his shoulder like he was flicking a speck of dust. With a strained grin, he swung his legs over the side of the bed and stood up. His knees buckled, then immediately gave out, causing the radio demon to fall face first onto the floor.
"Oh!"
Charlie hopped out of her seat to help him, but he put a finger up to stop her. With a snap, he summoned his shadows to bring him to his radio tower. With another snap, he summoned his shadows again. They seemed to be taking their sweet old time to assist him. He snapped his fingers angrily a few more times, like striking a match that refused to ignite. The princess kneeled down next to him.
What are you doing?"
"Am I not turning into a black swirl of void and then disappearing into thin air?"
he mumbled into the carpet.
"Nope."
"Well, phooey."
"Alistair, just let me help."
He held out his finger to her again. She threw her hands up in defeat and flopped back into the chair. The radio demon rolled himself over and crawled unceremoniously back into the bed, wriggling his useless body along the mattress like some kind of slug. He slung the blanket around his shoulders and clutched it tightly in front of his chest to cover his immodesty.
"What did you do to me?"
he accused, feedback rising in his voice.
"What happened to my powers?"
"I saved your life," Charlie retorted. "You're welcome for that, by the way. And I don't know why your powers are gone. You were nearly destroyed, body and soul. It's probably going to take a little while to gain back your full strength."
His smile pulled thin. That was highly concerning. But he was done letting the princess indulge in his weakened state. He wasn't about to become her next little passion project.
"Whatever the reason, it's probably best I wait this out in my radio tower. If you'd be a doll and give me a little zap of magic to get me out the door, I'll be on my merry way."
"And let you wallow up there for another 3 weeks? No way. Just stay here. It'll be easier for me to keep an eye on you while you recover."
She shook her head.
"Honestly, Alistair, why is it so hard for you to accept when someone just wants to help you?"
He narrowed his eyes at her.
"Because people don't help each other just out of the goodness of their hearts, especially not down here. Everyone has their ulterior motives, my dear."
She crossed her arms.
"Well, I don't. I'm just doing the right thing by helping a friend."
His eyes flickered knowingly.
"I think you want to help me because you feel guilty that I got hurt and need to clear your conscience. And you know your little hotel scheme would crumble to the ground without me."
He laughed.
"It quite literally did, if you remember."
She grumbled but didn't respond, so he leaned in close and booped her nose.
"Tell me I'm wrong. Even you're not above using people, Charlie. Whether it's for your own ends or just to convince yourself of your own righteousness."
That struck a nerve. Her face fell into a deep scowl, and her sclera turned red.
You know, asshole, one of these days, all this smack talk is gonna catch up with you, and you'll end up dying alone in a gutter somewhere, and no one will be sad about it. Not even me.
She got up from her chair and scooped up his clothes from the ottoman, making a dramatic show of crumbling up the nicely folded garments before angrily plopping them onto his lap. She then stomped over to her desk to grab a stack of papers.
Here.
She shoved the papers into his chest, nearly knocking the wind out of him.
While you're getting some rest, you can be responsible for vetting all the new hotel applicants. And you better do a thorough job, because I'll be placing all these folks in your wing of the hotel.
He began chuckling. Oh, how he enjoyed getting the princess's goat like this. Especially when she got worked up enough to sass him back. She really could stick up for herself when she wanted to. He was almost proud. As Charlie leered over him, Alistair noticed the splatter of blood on her shirt collar. With a curious hum, he took the fabric between his thumb and forefinger, wondering if it was his blood. Charlie stiffened, but didn't pull away.
You know, I was really worried that you wouldn't make it through the night,
she said quietly, looking down at her hooves. Alistair gave her a fake pout.
Would you have mourned me, princess?
He mocked. She met his eyes.
Yeah, I would have. For a second time, mind you.
The seriousness of her answer caught him a little off guard. He took in her disheveled appearance, really took it in this time. Not just her rumpled, stained clothes and messy hair. He noticed the dark circles under her eyes, the crusted gold flakes on her fingernails. Had she sat vigil by his bedside all night? The thought of someone doing that for him made him feel strange. Guilt suddenly nagged at his conscience for upsetting her.
I need to go. I promised Nifty I'd help her with breakfast.
She rubbed the bridge of her nose in exasperation.
Stay here, or go back to your radio tower. I don't care anymore. But I am checking in on you whether you want me to or not.
Alistair made a noise of neither agreement nor disagreement, then watched the princess as she turned to leave.
Charlie!
He called out as she was about to open the door. She whipped around to glare at him, her eyes steely as she waited for his incoming snark.
I am thankful for your help,
he said. She blinked several times, astonished.
You're welcome, Alistair.